You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel M, and I am the director of church multiplication at newchurches.com. Now, today's podcast is going to be a little bit different because I don't have Ed Stetzer or Todd Adkins with me to interrupt me, which is why my intro was flawless. And instead of addressing just one question, we are actually going to be addressing a topic: rural church planting and rural ministry, and what church growth looks like, what breaking barriers looks like in that context, and what and if that concept even applies to a rural context. This is an interview that I did with Donnie Griggs for one of our behind the scenes segments. Now, if you're not aware of Plus Membership, go to newchurches.com and there's a button there that says Become a Member. You can actually click on that and look at what it means to be a Plus member at newchurches.com. What that means is every week you're going to get exclusive content. So we've had Q&A webinars where actually you as Plus members submit questions and you get to listen to questions and answers, you know, interviews that we've had with Matt Chandler, guys like Robert Coleman, Kevin Peck, and the list goes on and on, guys who are experts in their areas, leading practitioners in their areas, and you guys actually get to submit your questions to them. So that's one of the weeks. Another one of the weeks, you can download ready-to-use resources. So we've, in the past, given you, you know, 19 plus church planting prospectuses. And if you're not a church plant, we've given you systems and tools for updates with your team and anything to really make your job easier, to free your time up so that you can be more focused on the mission of multiplication. As a Plus member, you also get video enhanced training once a month and behind the scenes segments. So these behind the scenes segments are quick 20-minute interviews that I have with leading practitioners that you may never have really heard about. And I introduce you to them and talk about the nuts and bolts of the topic that we are addressing at hand. So this month we interviewed Donnie Griggs, and I actually wanted to, although this is a Plus member only segment, I actually wanted to play it for you so you can get a taste as to what Plus membership is all about. And also because this content is killer. It is so, so good, because ministry in rural areas is completely different than ministry in the city or in suburbia. So buckle up and let's listen into this interview. Hey, welcome to this month's Behind the Scenes. We are privileged to have Donnie Griggs back with us with, like, the, you know, I got the sign that my kids did for me. It's sentimental. It's beautiful. I love it. But what you have behind you is like metal. And that is awesome.
My kids did this for me. So
there you go.
I'm a good dad too.
That's the sentimental part, but that is a gorgeous sign right there. So Donnie is the pastor of One Harbor Church. He wrote Small Town Jesus. You have a heart for rural ministry. You're a church planter. And once again, if you don't know Donnie, we'll have that in the show notes, but we did do a 1-hour webinar with him on rural ministry. So let's get right into the questions, Donnie.
Cool.
How is ministry in small towns different than big cities?
Man, I think there's a lot there. First of all, I just want to say, I think both small town and big city are we have to do both of those things well, yeah. You know? And so I think we don't want to overswing the pendulum and go, oh, no, only small town matters. But I think there are similarities, but then there are differences. And I guess the easiest way I can say it is it's much more concentrated in a small town. It's like you're literally doing ministry in a fishbowl, you know? I mean, Jesus said, you know, that he was gonna make his disciples fishers of men. You know, we live on the ocean here. It's a small town, but it's on the ocean. I mean, you're in Tennessee. If you guys brought some, I don't know what you use, night crawlers, or I don't know how to do that kind of fishing. But
okay. I'm not a fisher, so.
Oh, all right. Well, it's all right. If you brought that, if you brought what you use in a pond out here on a wreck, you could probably catch something, because there's hundreds and hundreds of different kinds of fish.
Okay.
But if I showed up in a pond in Tennessee with like a big Wahoo rig and was driving around trying to do high speed trolling, I'd make everybody mad and I wouldn't catch anything. And so I feel like it's that kind of analogy. You know, in a big city, you can do about anything you want and somebody will show up. Whereas in a small town, it's a lot more nuanced. You've actually got to like think about who the people are, where the place is. I know you got to do that everywhere, but there's only so many people in a small town. You got to really think about your audience, you know? So that's the major differences.
Yeah, definitely. So One Harbor Church, you guys are in, where in the States are you?
So like Southern Outer Banks, Eastern North Carolina.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And you guys have how many campuses?
We're about to start our fourth.
Okay, perfect. And video, live?
So we've been trying to introduce video some. It's not had great success. I know everybody says it works everywhere, but we're having better success with live teaching. Okay. And what we're doing is we've set up all the locations for video so we can supplement that in occasionally. And we'll see. Jury's still out.
Yeah. Okay. And once again, listen to the webinar to get all the details because we go a little bit more in depth in your church. But just for our plus members, all three plus the fourth starting, what's the average weekend attendance at? Just for context.
Yeah, I think we're averaging between like 1,300 and 1,500 on a Sunday between all the locations.
Okay. So, you know, I'm going to talk about we're going to talk a little bit about that. But just for our plus members, it's like, okay, 13 to 1500. How is that a rural church?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I know you're in rural context. So if you could just break that down for us a little bit, how that works math wise.
Yeah. I think we have just what happened, you know, it seems to be that we're reaching about 10% of each of the towns that we're in, you know? Yeah. And so, you know, the Moorhead City, the town that we're based in is like 9,000 people.
Okay.
And we've got between 800 and 900, you know, on a Sunday there. And so that's kind of, you know,
That's huge.
We're able to see happen, you know, but a lot of that's because it's small, you know, I mean, small town, you can make a bigger impact.
Yeah. But I mean, 10%. the last city that I was pastoring in, our vision was let's reach 1% of the city. And the city was 1 million, but you know, it's not necessarily always about, hey, 1% is 10,000 people. No, it's like, hey, what's the saturation percentage?
Yeah.
You know, that's more of an important metric than, you know, a number. And that's why I wanted you to give it a little bit of context.
Sure, man.
To all that. So, you know, nevertheless, being able to reach 10% of your city, in your town is a big thing. And you have grown your church quite significantly. But has, you know, is it because your town is growing? You know what I'm talking about? So if you look at some research that Leadership Network, Warren Bird, I remember him telling me about this, that one of the common factors of churches that are growing are that they are in growing cities or neighborhoods. Mm. Right. And it's just, you know, you plant a church where there's a new subdivision going up, or you plant a church in a city where, you know, a lot of people are moving in, and it's just, you know, you kind of have the law of large numbers going for you. How is that different in your area? Are your towns where you're pastoring, are they growing? You know, talk to us a little bit about that dynamic there.
So, I mean, maybe some here and there, but not a lot. I read a lot of the church growth books and church planning books and all that stuff on like launching well and all those things. And I feel like that's different in a suburban or an urban context than it would be in a small town.
Yeah. So tell us about, you know, your observations and all that.
Yeah. So I think, you know, really what you're dealing with in a small town is largely an indigenous culture. You know, you're dealing with people who've always lived there, and their parents live there. And we have people in our church who were deeded, you know, six or 7,000 acres of land because as far back as they can trace it, their family's always lived on that property, you know, and that's a pretty common thing around here. There's just a lot of heritage. And so, what we found was that a lot of that like launch type stuff, like let's send out mailers and do all that. I just heard someone last week, speaking about this, another rural church planner, that stuff really I wouldn't do that personally just because I feel like it would come across really gimmicky and impersonal. Really like the way that things succeed in a small town, be it a restaurant or a business or a church, is by word of mouth.
Okay.
Word of mouth will crush you, or it'll, you know, it'll make you, you know, it'll give you great like influence. And so, I feel like, the way things grew for us was just somebody got saved or somebody got their life impacted and they went and told everybody they knew, you know, and if you look at like the gospels and the early church, that's a lot of, a lot of those are small town rural contexts, you know, especially in the Gospels. And you know, you got woman at the well and Mark 5 demoniac. I mean, those types of things, I think, are the kind of ways that we see church growth happen in small towns, is someone influential gets their life changed and they go tell everybody about it, you know? Yeah, we grew by word of mouth and by really getting to know the community and people getting to know us. Whereas I think if we would have just kind of gone the traditional route, you just don't have these large, like, suburban neighborhoods popping up, right? You don't have that, you know? You know, you've got people that have been there forever, and you're gonna have to work to get to know them, you know?
So how do you then, you know, if word of mouth is one of the main strategies, you know, or tools that you use to just get the lost, you know, encourage the lost to come into your church, to have your church members bring neighbors and friends and all that stuff, you know, how do you encourage that? What are ways that you've equipped your congregation to do that? Because we've all, you know, we've all asked people to invite people. We've all tried to do that, but, you know, what are some ways that you've done that well?
Yeah. So I think, probably the encouragement I would say is, you know, really to, as the church planner or the pastor, you know, I see myself, you know, as lead missionary, not just lead pastor, you know? And so I want to be present. I want to be in the community. And so, I mean, if you look at Jesus, he's at weddings, he's at parties, he's at funerals, he's at, you know, meals with people, he's in the marketplace, he's walking down the road and running, he's everywhere. I mean, he literally was everywhere. And so I feel like in a small town, you can kind of be everywhere. You can be at all the stuff. You can be at the moments, you know, where the town is weeping or celebrating, you can be there. And so that constant presence, you begin to build relationship, and people, man, that means a lot in a small town. They want to get to know you before they're going to come check out the church that you lead, you know? And so I think that's that's one way. And then, really helping our people see that their job is to be missionaries. I know we're all doing this, but that requires a lot of intentional coaching. I think maybe in a small town, it's sitting down with the accountant and going, look, you're good at golf. You play golf with your work buddies. I'm never going to do that. Let me help you learn how to, like, share the gospel in those moments, seeing all their rhythms of life as opportunities for mission. You know, I think a lot of times in small town churches too, people don't, you know, they're not as inundated with all, you know, the stuff that we've been talking about for the last 10 years or so in big urban, you know, conferences. Yeah. It's missed a lot of our audience in the small town. And so it can be news to the people in your church that they're supposed to be missionaries to their town. I know that sounds crazy. 2017, we've all read about it and heard about it for the last 10 years, but man, I feel like I'm seeing the light bulbs come on all the time with people in our church. Like, they've never thought about that, you know, that it was their job to reach people.
Yeah. So classic church growth literature always talks about this big transition from, you know, the pastor being the shepherd to the pastor being a rancher, right? I mean, it's been been talked about a lot. And my impression of a small town, and honestly, the town I live in is the smallest town that I've ever lived in my entire life. And I recognize that because I'm like, there's no bus system where I live. Like, there's a bus system in the city, but I'm just like, I've never experienced that issue. And my county is like 60,000 people. Like, it's the county right next to Nashville. But even there, I'm just like, it feels a lot smaller than I'm typically used to.
Yeah.
Right. In terms of where I've grown and where grown up and where I pastored. So my impression of like a 2,000 person town or a 9,000 person town, my impression of Pat, and correct me if I'm wrong, right? I'm just kind of sharing my observations here. My impression is that the pastor really is, you know, you're really kind of seen as, hey, you are a pastor, especially if, let's say, it's 2,000 people, you know, and you have 200 in your church, right? Or 400 in your church. It's like, you are seen as kind of the, you know, the pastor, and people can recognize you. They know where you, is that true where you're
everywhere
at?
Everywhere you go. Okay. Everywhere you go, man. Okay. You're like, date nights are crazy, man. Okay. I mean, everywhere you go, that like, there's this, I mean, everywhere I go, I'm running into people who are there in our church. It seems like everyone knows who I am.
Yeah.
And so you're always kind of on, you know, you're always thinking like that. And I mean, I think that can be really helpful, you know, because I mean, you really get a ton of opportunities. If you think about it like that, you have a ton of opportunities to minister way outside of the normal sort of parameters, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, some of my Anglican friends, they'll actually intentionally wear the collar, even though they don't typically do so, they'll intentionally wear it when they go to a coffee shop or when they're walking around because of the conversations that'll just naturally strike up.
Yeah.
But the reason I ask you this is, you know, you talked about Jesus going to weddings and funerals and, you know, you being recognized where you're pastoring. How does that, you know, it obviously helps in some sense, but how do you then equip your congregation to be ministers, you know, to be the priesthood of all believers, to be missionaries when there's a sense of, oh no, but there's the pastor.
Yeah.
You know, I want the pastor to, or that's what the pastor is supposed to do. How have you been able to kind of shift that mindset for your congregation?
Yeah, I think, one of the things that just springs to mind is I throw myself under the bus a lot in sermons.
Okay.
And man, it really made people uncomfortable for like the first several years. I mean, people would pull me aside and like, listen, man, you know, nobody wants to think of you like that. And you can't talk about yourself like that. But I routinely tell people like, man, if I had a choice right now to die on the cross for your sins, I wouldn't. Like, I'm not that guy. I love you, but like, I would rather be alive, you know, like, I think like as much as possible, you know, you showing people you're not Jesus.
Yeah.
Right. And here's the thing, man, you've got to like say again and again to your church that in as many ways as possible, what Jesus wants to do in this little town or whatever context you're in, but what Jesus wants to do is so much bigger than I can pull off. I mean, if it would kill me to try, you know, it's going to require that every single one of you guys drink the Kool-Aid, lay your life down and live to see this happen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to require all of us. I cannot do this by myself.
Yeah.
Our staff can't do this by ourselves. And so as you continue to present a vision that's way too big for you or your leadership team, people will rise to that, man. They'll be part of it if they see that they're needed, you know?
Yeah.
But, if you make it myopic and small and we're just going to pull off a good Sunday, I mean, we can do that by ourselves.
Yeah.
Quote unquote. You know?
Yeah, definitely. What I love about you, Donnie, is just your heart for the lost, your heart for the gospel. And I remember the last time we were on a webinar together, you were just talking about when you're driving through one of the towns, I think it might've been the town that you're about to start a campus in, and how, you know, Jesus was just, he was just moving your heart.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, that is so, yes, God can use a donkey to be his messenger. He can use anyone he wants, but he wants to use those who are faithful, right? He wants to use, you know, God opposes he opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble, right? So I so appreciate that about you, Donnie there. But you're also, on the other hand, a great leader, right? A great thinker. So give us the glasses that you wear when you read church growth, you know, literature, when you read stuff about breaking barriers and you're just looking at all that stuff, or you're reading books. What are the lenses you put on? How do you interpret all that in light of small towns, in light of rural ministry?
Yeah. All right. So I'm not the church growth expert. And I mean, I'm amazed every Sunday that people even show up. And so what God's done has just been, man, incredible. But I guess what I would say is I feel like, for example, I meet guys all the time who, you know, lead churches in small towns, rural areas. I mean, guys with like 300 people in their town, 400 people in their town.
Yeah.
We've got islands here with like 80 or 90 people living on it. You know, I mean,
yeah.
It's an island around here called Davis. And most of the people who live in Davis, their last name is Davis. I know a guy whose name is Davis from Davis. So you can't tell. I mean, how do you tell people in a town of 400, you know, hey, your church, man, you're almost there. If you're going to break the 200 barrier, that's how you're going to know you really come through.
Yeah.
That's 50% of that guy's town. You know, like that is revival. Unlike, I mean, most of the world has ever seen, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think we've just got to like, I think we've got to be careful with some of our metrics that we don't only look through the lenses of large context, you know, because in a large context, I get it. You've got to have a couple hundred people in the room and you're moving from a sense of community to like beginning to appreciate the crowd and you're blah, blah, blah. I get all that stuff. But like, what are those numbers then for like a town of 100, you know, or 400 or, So it's just, I think it's beginning, like you said, to think through, like, how do we saturate this town with gospel influence? You know, not how do we reach a particular number. Those numbers, man, can really be crushing, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's that kind of stuff. And I think I'm when I'm reading these books, and I love all the stuff that comes out of me. I'm a church planner. I want to learn.
Yeah.
I think I'm trying to, like, filter out what I can use, not just go, well, here's what I can't use. All that stuff's, you know, it's all for the city. Doesn't matter for me. No. There's stuff in here that can help us, but I've got to just know my context to know that, man, almost most of the things that would work in a culture where no one knows in each other in our culture would just be like super gimmicky and just weird. You know, I mean, yeah. I can imagine if my neighbor's got a flyer from my church, they'd all be standing around in the cul-de-sac when I got home. We're like, what the heck is this, dude? Why don't you just invite us? You know?
Yeah.
Would not understand why I wanted to mail them something instead of just walk next door and say, hey, why don't you come, you know?
Okay.
So it's that kind of thing. And then I think small town, especially guys who aren't from those towns coming in, if you don't build some relational credibility, you are going to struggle, man. You're not going to make it. You've got to get to know people. So maybe you want to try some of the, you know, some of that other stuff, but like that cannot be, you know, in lieu of like really working hard to like be known and know others, you know, because you just can't get around that in a small town, man.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. So I keep on hearing that relational element.
Yeah. Let me just say this other thing too. Sorry, man. I'm just thinking about this. I feel like in every small town I go to, there's a place where all the pastors hang out. Mm. You know, it's like the pastor's little like spot for breakfast or for coffee, or they all just congregate together, you know? And so, I'll just encourage you, the guys who are listening, don't be that pastor. You know, if you walk into a breakfast place and there's, you know, eight pastors sitting there, find a new breakfast place, you know, like get somewhere where I love Chick-fil-A, but like, don't live there, you know, don't live at those spots that tend to, you know, be places where all the Christians in your town hang out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. That's really good. So as we're coming to an end here, what advice would you give church planters who are in a rural context? I mean, just this last week at the time of the recording, I was in Philly for a conference, and one of our plus members, James Pavlik, he's a bivocational church planter in a rural town, and he's about to get started. And, you know, guys like that, what advice would you give him?
Yeah. So I would say, firstly, you know, start on the right track, which is enjoy Jesus and love people no matter how big the church is.
Yeah.
Enjoy Jesus and love people no matter how many Twitter followers you get. Who cares?
Yeah.
It's Jesus is still worth it. People are still worth it. And then I would say, like don't just think like I've got to pull off a good Sunday. Think about your town, think about your region and begin get a vision early on. I wish I'd had a bigger vision earlier on of what God could do. I had such a small little myopic vision because our town was so small. Mm. Man, just dream big and let God decide what happens, you know?
Yeah.
And then this is something I learned way too late. Know that as it grows, growth brings change.
Yeah.
And be prepared for that. Get on the front end of that and know that not everybody's going to make that transition. Some people, especially in small towns, just like small church. They just like it. Mm. They leave you if you grow, they'll leave. And it could be the people who are praying the loudest for God to send the lost. And then he does, and they don't like it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, because they took my seat and they took my parking spot and I don't like having to serve every Sunday. So just understand that some people just don't like, you know, that type of church and they may step out. Don't take it personal. Just keep loving Jesus, keep loving people and keep going, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, how about a pastor of an established church, you know, they see the rule, you know, or they see the town, you know, in the county next door, or even if it's in the same county and it's like 2,000 people or 3,000 people or whatnot, you know, what advice would you give them as they view those smaller towns around them?
So the success we've had is just people drive into us, and we've got a contingency of people who are driving in. We'll plant something there. I mean, once we start getting leaders and community groups and all that there, we haven't done a whole lot of parachuting, but we're open to it. We think that'll happen eventually. I would say look for a leader who really loves that town, and if they're from that town, that's even better. Mm. So somebody who's from there or knows the place or loves the place. mean, that's what we're looking for. Not just somebody who this is a stepping stone for some other ministry role someday. That's not going to work. So find somebody like that.
Yeah, that's good.
And I think multi-site is really going to be more and more of a strategy in what happens in small towns, because a lot of these towns aren't big enough to financially support something autonomous right away.
Yeah.
And so over time, that might happen with all of our locations. I don't care. This isn't imperialism. This is mission, you know?
Yeah.
So I would say that. And then I would say, as you get for the existing guys, as you get a vision for the region, not just your town, you've got to get an aggressive leadership development strategy where you've got people coming in-house, coming through. You know, your answer cannot be, we're just going to send out, you know, for resumes every time we need some leaders.
Yeah.
Bring people through from the inside, people who already know the town, love the town, but also know and love your church and get who you are and give those guys opportunity and look to deploy indigenous leadership.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's really good. And how about denominational or network leaders, which, by the way, we do have denominational and network leaders as a part of our community. And if you're looking for someone to speak to your pastors, Donnie's great. Because it's funny, Donnie, at one of our gatherings, Ed and I do this thing called the Church Planning Leadership Fellowship with denominational and network leaders. And, you know, we talk about the city, and actually this November, we're going to New York City to focus on urban ministry. But last year we focused on rural. And I was like, hey, so how many, you know, in amongst all the churches that you oversee and you're coaching, how many of you have more rural than city churches that you are in charge of? And nearly every head shot up, right? So it's one of those things it's so important, but just because it works in the city doesn't mean it's going to work in a rural area. So what advice would you give denominational or network leaders?
Yeah. So I first want to say it is happening. I'm seeing this. So like the network I'm a part of, Advance, you know, Acts 29, the Wesleyan denomination, Assembly of God, Southern Baptist. I mean, I'm talking to all of these guys and just hearing them beginning to prioritize this. So thank you for doing that. I would say think about strategy for small town and rural, not just urban and suburban, and adjust accordingly, you know? And then I would say train up, like find ways to train them and equip them. Guys in small town ministry, look for churches where you can send, you know, new guys who are coming through, you know, Bible college or whatever, who want to go plant in small town. Look for churches you can go do residencies at. Tell stories at your conferences and stuff like that. Tell stories of success stories of church plants in small towns that are doing well. And then celebrate with them, mourn with them. Just make them part of, I mean, like 1 Corinthians 12, you know, you've got those two tensions of, I don't want to feel like I'm not needed, and I don't want to hear, we don't need you. I think small town rural church planters need to hear that from their networks and their denominations. We need you, and don't think you're not needed. Like, you're part of us. You matter to us. And then I would say, man, if you have an educational arm with your denomination, pursue that aggressively and get them to begin to equip and train people for small town rural ministry. I mean, if the Wall Street Journal is right and that, you know, small town is the new urban, then we are going to have to do what we just did over the last 10 to 15 or 20 years, raising up people who could really go in and understand the nuance of urban ministry. We're going to have to begin educate and train people to do that for small towns. And so press on the people who do education, you know, within your denomination or your network and begin to equip, you know, the next generation of guys.
That's awesome. Well, thank you, Donnie, for being on this behind the scenes segment with us for Plus members. And thank you for your ministry. Let's keep on being faithful and keep our eyes on Christ.
Amen. Thanks, man.
Thanks, man.